In recent decades, millions of people have drifted away from Jesus and their Catholic faith. Sadly, many may never find their way back. I'm Tom Peterson, and I believe that God has called me to use my background in media to be a catalyst in the new evangelization. Our organization produces inspiring and creative evangelization messages that have helped lead hundreds of thousands of inactive Catholics, converts, agnostics, and atheists home to Jesus and His Holy Church. Join us as we travel across North America to bring you stories of heartbreak, redemption, and transformation as the Holy Spirit leads His people home. God has an extraordinary plan for each of our lives. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven with Him and bring as many people with us as possible. This is Catholics Come Home. Welcome to Catholics Come Home. Today's episode comes to you from Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. Soon we're going to meet a preschool teacher and a mother. We'll learn how she and her husband drifted away from their Catholic faith early in their marriage, but we'll also find out what helped their entire family of five home to the sacramental church. Like everyone else in this series, today's guest came home to the church thanks in large part to Catholics Come Home and responding to the grace of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to meet Mary Anthony Bain. Mary, thank you so much for being with us today and welcome home.
Thank you so much. My pleasure entirely. I'm very happy to be here.
What was your faith background like growing up here as a child?
I grew up in a wonderful small town along the Jersey Shore called Highlands, New Jersey. And I didn't grow up in church life per se, but when I was in kindergarten, my mother took me to a beautiful small Episcopal church in our hometown. My father was a Greek Orthodox. He was not practicing, but I was baptized in the Greek Orthodox Church. We also, as a family, did not participate in that particular religion. There was always a sense in our home that God was present, God was real. We did not actively pray as a family, but prayed in our own way. My parents were private people, so there was no open prayer at the table, but we prayed. We prayed to ourselves, we prayed alone. I had a Bible that I read as a teenager and just had that running in the background of our lives, although it wasn't in the forefront. But my father was a good, strong leader in our home, and we always had a sense of right and wrong.
After you met your husband, how did your faith journey continue then?
I met my husband, Terry, on my 18th birthday through a friend, and through getting to know each other, discovered that he was a practicing Catholic. And one evening on a Saturday night, he asked me if I would like to attend Mass with him before we went out. And I just thought that was the best invitation I could have ever gotten. And I went to church with him and honestly felt a little awkward, never been in a Mass, but it was an experience that I wanted to repeat, and we made it our regular date night situation where we went to Mass before we went out.
You met your husband and knew you were going to get married. Did you decide to get married in the Catholic Church?
I did choose to get married in my husband's church, and I went through the RCIA program. He joined me in that program, and once a week I met with a lovely couple and a few other folks from the church, and we learned about the sacraments, we learned about the love of God and church history, and it really did bring faith, a stronger faith and a knowledge of Catholicism into my worship every Sunday. So before we were married, I received my sacraments, and then we were married, and it was lovely.
After you were married for a few years, mm-hmm. people came into your life that prompted you to start looking elsewhere, right?
It did. We had our first child when we were married for 4 years, and we had him baptized. And number two came along 3 years later, and he was baptized in the Catholic Church also. Same church where my husband grew up and where we were married. And that was a lovely experience to feel that we were carrying on that tradition of Catholic faith, and we wanted to impart that into our sons.
While you weren't disgruntled with your Catholic faith, what other things started influencing your faith choices?
We had met some other friends who attended another church, and I joined a mother's group, started reading the Bible along with them, and I was invited to Bible studies with them and play groups, and the invitation came to attend service one day with those folks, and we accepted it and felt led to that and other church experiences. So we really went seeking Christianity in a different way, a non-Catholic way.
Mary, list all the different faith communities you've been involved with.
And once we ventured out from the Catholic Church, I attended one Baptist church, and then we moved on to another, and then we moved on to a third. I went and actually worked in a Presbyterian church, which was a wonderful experience. And we did attend a non-denominational church, a Bible church, a Calvary Chapel. We really experienced God in honestly all His glory and all forms of Christianity. And still, in every experience, I felt it was wonderful, it was joyful, it was spirit-filled, but something felt missing. Some small part felt, and I don't want to use the word inadequate, but was void for me, and for my family as well. So when we did feel that we were moving on to other church experiences, always running in the background of the mind was, well, should we have left the Catholic Church? And you can't go back again, because how do you go back? Where's that road, that long and winding road to go back home where we came from? We didn't really know how we could ever find that again. So we thought, moving forward in our faith, meant moving forward to other churches and other experiences. While the ones we left were beautiful and we still have wonderful family and friends who attend them, we just had no real understanding that we could go back.
In a moment, we'll witness a homecoming for Mary and her family.
When he looked in the camera and told me he was saving a seat for me on the starting bench, I knew he meant me.
Have you ever had someone show you incredible, overwhelming kindness? You know, the kind of generosity that makes you feel kind of small and unworthy? Well, when it comes to our relationship with the Eucharist, we should probably feel the same way. Now, we know that the Eucharist is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ, but how often do we stop to think about the price that was paid for us to be graced with such a gift? In order for Jesus to leave us His body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, He first had to offer Himself completely. Through His agonizing passion and death, the Lamb was slain so the bread of life could be ours. Is our response one of fervent gratitude, or have we become apathetic and complacent? Jesus longs to nourish us with Himself in the Eucharist. Do we long to receive this gift?
Victory in life, we've got to keep focused on the goal, and the goal is heaven. The key to winning is choosing to do God's will and love others with all you've got. Sacrifice, discipline, and prayer are essential. We gain strength through God's word, and we receive grace from the sacraments. And when we fumble due to sin, and it's going to happen, confession puts us back on the field. So if you haven't been going to Mass weekly, get back in the game. We're saving your seat on the starting bench this Sunday. Welcome home.
When you realized something was missing in those other faith communities, what sparked your interest? What was the catalyst helping you to come home to the Catholic Church?
I saw a commercial with Coach Lou Holtz for Catholics Come Home, which I come to know now is called an evangelmercial. I was watching TV, and I saw a coach who I was always very fond of invite me back and explain to me the goal is heaven, the journey gets us towards our goal, that we can come home, that when we fall in sin, and we will, not if, but when, because that is who we are. We are human, we will sin, but when we do, there is a way back through confession, in the church, and when he looked in the camera and told me he was saving a seat for me on the starting bench, I knew he meant me.
How did you feel inside after seeing that message?
When I heard that, I felt the burn in my heart to want to come back to the church. And I went to the website and I typed in at my computer, CatholicsComeHome.org. And I looked at that site with the three doors. I'm blessed to be Catholic. I'm Catholic but not attending Mass currently. I'm a Protestant or I'm not attending church. Click on the door. I clicked on every door. I clicked on every door because every door pertained to me. And it took a few visits. I would check that website every day. All of those evangelicals, I'd click and click and click and listen to all those stories and hear how they all came home. And inside of me, that's all I ever wanted really to do was to go back home, and knew that I could and that we would be welcome back. Where before we couldn't find the road back, now we knew that it was right there waiting for us the whole time.
How did your husband and sons react to you wanting to come home to the Catholic Church?
After watching the evangelicals, and I really believed that I was ready to return to the Catholic Church, of course I had to talk to my husband and my children. So I shared that with them, and I found that they were ready also, that our traveling, we had traveled long enough, and we'd gone far enough that we were ready to come back home and settle in and put down our roots. And that summer we attended a Mass with my mother and father-in-law and the grandchildren. And after that service, we stepped outside and my son said to me, "Mama, this is the church that we want." And that just blessed my heart to know that they were on board, that our traveling days were over, that we could come home to the church. And we've been so happy ever since.
When you first came home, how did you feel?
When I came in for my first Mass, my own first Mass back, my husband was unavailable, and my children were not available. It was a Saturday Mass at 5 o'clock, but I went by myself, and I went in, and I sat down in the middle of the pew, and I know, because I could feel, I had a big, big smile on my face. And while everyone is very, very solemn and in their prayers and to themselves, I was looking around and looking at the stained glass and looking at the candles and looking up at everyone. And I did notice during the Mass, the priest caught my eye with his big grin, and he thought, I don't know what he thought. He thought, oh, someone's laughing at my jokes, you know, because he's humorous in the homily, and I was paying full attention. So happy to be back. Unbeknownst to me, someone I knew from the class that I teach, one of my parents, was sitting a few pews back. And when I stepped out into the parking lot and checked my phone, I had a text that said, "Is that you? Is that you, Miss Mary, in the pew in front of us?" And I said, "Yes, is that you?" So that was fun to really realize I am home. I have friends here. I have family here. I'm welcomed back. There was another friend in a pew, and when she walked by after receiving communion, saw me, patted me on the shoulder. It was lovely. Just a little touch of her hand. It was lovely to be back.
You live in a close-knit community. What was it like to come home?
When I think of going to church, I often think of walking to church, that I can walk out my door, walk down my street, walk into my church, celebrate Mass, and then step outside with all of my neighbors. We're all from the same town. We support each other and love each other in the community. It's lovely to walk down the street, come into the cafe, get some breakfast or a cup of coffee, open the bulletin, read prayer requests of neighbors, their families, their friends, not from far off, not from distant areas, all coming to one place and then going our separate ways. But to feel fully part of my community again is a wonderful feeling.
Coming up, we'll find out what's happening in Mary's life now.
Every faithful Mass celebrates the life of Christ through the Eucharist. And for me, that made the difference.
In today's episode, we talk about settling for something less than the best. How often we're distracted by things of this world rather than focusing on the plan that Christ has for us. In chapter 3 of my book, Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life, we talk about fasting before we feast, how God calls us to the ultimate good, that eternal reward, rather than the creature comforts of today. A high school math teacher gave his class this option. He says, I'll either give you all $10,000 today, or I'll let you have a penny, and I'll double it every day, 2 cents, 4 cents, 8 cents, and so forth, for 30 days, and let you have that as the reward. As you can well imagine, most of those students wanted the instant gratification. They settled for $10,000. But in doing so, they were settling for 10,000 times less than the $10.6 million they would have received had they chosen that penny that doubled every day for the next 30 days. You know, we have to think about that in our own lives. How often do we settle for something that's good, but not the greatest good? Like in tonight's episode, so many families leave the church. They look for music or they look for a homily. They're settling for a good, but they're giving up the greatest good, the sacramental church that Jesus Christ himself started, that feeds us with his body in the Eucharist, that forgives us in the sacrament of reconciliation, and that guides us and our children through eternity with the Holy Spirit. Let's keep our eyes focused on the prize of heaven and help love others to heaven as well.
1 year after I graduated Catholic high school, I eloped to Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years. When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture. I learned that the Catholic Church was started by Jesus Christ, who gave the authority to Peter, and it has continued in succession down to the present day. And that was the start of my journey home to the Catholic Church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Now that you've come home to your Catholic faith and the sacraments, how has that helped you to become a better teacher?
I do love my pre-kindergarten class, every single one of those children and their families. And it's a blessing if I can say to them, if they share a burden, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your child. And they know that I do. And they're so sweet. And I can look at them through the eyes of Jesus Christ and say, these are his children. And he said, bring them unto me, that if I'm ever feeling frustrated with a child, I look at the life of Christ and say to myself, that is his child, and I will love that child as that were my own child for the greater glory of God and to show Christ's love to others. Even though I don't teach in a religious school, my faith goes with me wherever I go. So I bring that faith into my classroom. Through the love that I have for God, I can put upon those children. They're so cute, and we have a show and tell every Friday. And one school year, one of my students, she brought in her rosary, and she wanted to show it for show and tell. And the mother asked me, is that okay? It's like, that is awesome. I love it. It is more than okay. So we celebrate everyone. We celebrate all faiths, all backgrounds, all cultural heritage. Christianity and Catholicism is mine. And come to find out, it was hers as well. She didn't know we had that shared heritage, so she showed her rosary and was blessed when I showed her mine, when I reached into my lunch bag and I took out mine. And to share your faith with someone in an unexpected way is wonderful to do, especially a child.
Your husband is a plumber, but he's also a volunteer firefighter. How has coming home to the Catholic Church helped him to do a better job?
My husband's faith has increased, although we never really left God. We never left God. We never turned from Jesus Christ. We always had a love for the Lord in our hearts and a prayer life and a desire to seek his will for our life. But I believe for my husband as well, in his work, he has come across people that he's able to share his faith with from different backgrounds, from different denominations, and people who don't have a faith life at all.
You have three wonderful sons. How has your example and your husband's example in coming home to the church filtered down to your sons?
My sons have just received their confirmation and their sacrament of Holy Communion together. They went through the RCIA program, and it was wonderful to see them want to go to the church on their own without mom. My oldest drove them once a week. They sat down with Father Bill and one other teenager to learn about their faith, to learn about the Catholic Church and church history, and how it pertains to them, and what their part in all of that is, and that they do have a part, and it is relevant, and it is alive, and the faith is vibrant, and it is for them as young people. To see them come through the whole year of studying and reading their prayer books and visiting with Father Bill, to going to the first confession, to receiving their first Holy Communion at confirmation at our Easter Vigil with their three uncles, my husband's brothers, as their sponsor. It was a wonderful experience. My husband was my sponsor into the church, so it really did feel like we were passing down our faith tradition to our boys, and I'm very thankful for that.
You said something was missing, and you used the word void. What was missing?
The sense of belonging in that church, which for me was that first church, that church that has that 2,000-year history that was founded by the apostles, by Jesus Christ as his church and his body. And while I believe fully that we are all the body of believers, for me, that felt in my heart of hearts, that was the true church for me. And I do believe that in traveling to the other churches, I was ready to come back to my faith in the Catholic Church with a new appreciation for the depth and the breadth of the beauty of the Mass, the meaning of the Eucharist, with a full head knowledge as well as a heart knowledge of celebrating the life of Jesus Christ at every Mass.
If people say it doesn't matter what church you go to, what would you tell them about the sacraments in the Catholic Church?
We're all free to receive communion. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ, is vital to keep us grafted into the body of the church and graft our lives together with the life of Christ. It's absolutely vital. Every faithful Mass celebrates the life of Christ through the Eucharist. And for me, that made the difference.
Now that you've come home to the Catholic Church, what would you share with others who are maybe drifting around?
You can come back, and the walls won't rock, as we like to say. Oh, lightning will strike if I came back. I've heard people say, oh, the walls will shake, the walls will quake. They will not. If they do, I believe that's the angels rejoicing. That's heaven rejoicing that their child has come home and that you can come home again. And if you've never been, you can make it your home. You can make it your home at any age.
Mary, thank you so much for being with us today. We're so glad you and your entire family have come home.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be home.
One of the reasons I love being Catholic is that we have the sacraments. Today's viewer question addresses the connection between the sacraments and evangelization. How important are the sacraments in the work of evangelization? One thing is certain, the sacraments are pivotal in the work of evangelization. If you want to be a better evangelist, frequent the sacraments. Living a sacramental life will help you grow in holiness by showering you with an increase of sanctifying grace and other sacramental graces. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI said, "The new evangelization begins in the confessional." To become better evangelists, we must frequent the sacrament of confession and acquire the graces we need to lead holier lives that are examples to others of God's working in and through us. Recently, Catholics Come Home launched a website called goodconfession.com. I recommend you visit that site and learn how to better live out Christ's words to the woman caught in adultery: go and sin no more. So we know that confession is important as an evangelist. What else? My second tip for you to become a better evangelist and a more sacramental evangelist is to go daily or frequently to Mass. Pope St. John Paul II said, "The Eucharist appears as both the source and the summit of all evangelization, since its goal is the communion of mankind with Christ and in Him with the Father and the Holy Spirit." In the 10 years that I have been going to daily Mass, I have noticed such amazing growth in my work as an evangelist. Take advantage of the treasure of going to Mass, more than just on Sundays. When you do go to Mass, be an engaged Catholic. At each Mass, during the consecration, pray for those whom you are trying to bring home. Tom, our Catholics Come Home president and founder, tells people to place that person in the precious blood of Jesus when the celebrant raises the holy chalice. Also, listen closely to God speaking to you in the liturgy, through the readings, homily, and your prayer, and ask God what one special thing He wants you to take away from the Mass that Sunday, which you can work on throughout the week. Finally, teach sacramental preparation. It's likely that your parish is in need of more baptism instructors, catechists for First Communion and First Reconciliation prep, and teachers for the confirmation program. They also likely need extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion for the parish and to serve the sick. Encourage your pastor and other parish leaders to bring great programs like Formed, Symbolon, Why Disciple, Discovering Christ, and others to your parish.
Here's your chance to get active in the new evangelization. Visit the CatholicsComeHome.org website, enter through the door, and click on the Shop tab. Here, you can order a Catholics Come Home book, evangelization cards, a DVD of the evangelicals, or a car magnet. If you or someone you know has come home to the church thanks in part to Catholics Come Home, let us know. Or if you have a comment, question, or want to support our mission, email us at info@CatholicsComeHome.org or write to us at Catholics Come Home, P.O. Box 1802, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Over the years, Mary and her family church hopped and church swapped nearly a dozen times, but somehow they never felt at home. But thanks to God's grace in responding to a Catholics Come Home message saying, "We're saving a seat for you," Mary and her family came home to the Catholic Church and to the sacraments they miss so much. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Catholics Come Home. Please keep Mary, the Bain family, and all of us at Catholics Come Home in your prayers. And remember to do your part in the new evangelization by helping to love somebody to heaven. God.